It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the Del Olalea Show, but as the bullpen edition of said show, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, AJ Russ behind the glass, filling in for Del one more time. We'll be in, we just found out, tomorrow as well, Sean, and then also on Friday. Rahil will pick up the slack on Thursday before Del returns this week. How are you gentlemen doing?
Doing good, doing good. That's right. We'll be here now four out of the five days this week.
And we still have the bullpen on Saturday, so...
Yes. Are we still doing that?
Okay. I think so. Maybe we should talk to Joe.
and Thursday for preview of Texans Raiders, all 2 hours, we're going to have Rahil breaking it all down.
Oh, really?
Preseason.
Yeah, no one dives into the film.
120 straight minutes of preseason.
Of keys to the game for preseason game two. Exactly. No one does that better than Rahil. So, yeah, you have that to look forward to. And, of course, Sean and I will be back on Friday to break down every single angle.
Reacting. Texans, our hot takes.
On a reaction Friday. Yes. Monday? Whatever. But we got a lot to get into today. No Astros other than maybe later in the show we'll talk about the news that they're calling up their number 9 prospect, Ethan Pecco. Maybe we can tag team that with what's going on with Kyle Tucker right now.
Mm.
A little baseball segment later in the show because Kyle Tucker is in it right now with the Dodgers. Yeah. That's
not going great.
It's kind of fun to watch from afar, but whew, man, not fun to be Kyle Tucker right now. But before we get into some Texans, I stopped in on the way in as I usually do. You know, Chick-fil-A, got a drink, went into the bathroom, you know, just real quick, and I ran across. One more time, not this is the first time it's happened. One of the things that annoys me most in this world is I walk into the bathroom. There's, it's just one stall, one urinal, whatever. And a dude's in the stall with his talking on the phone with it on like a speaker as loud as they could possibly go. I don't know why we as a society have decided that this phone conversation cannot wait, so much so that not only will I talk to them in the bathroom, but I'm going to put it on speaker so my other jabronis like me can walk in and hear that you're talking about hot tubs with somebody for some reason in a Chick-fil-A bathroom.
I am interested about the hot tub. Okay, it's the Chick-fil-A bathroom, not the one here.
No, not the one here. Yeah.
Please tell me
neither of you are speakerphone in the stall. I can't hang up the phone.
I'm not a speakerphone guy.
Yeah, right.
No,
in public, period.
Phone,
yes. Even in my apartment, I don't.
I'll see people do that. Yeah, exactly. Even if I'm at home, I don't put it on speaker. But I'll see people do that in the elevator too, which maybe is more annoying because the kind of the personal invasion
proximity.
Of privacy, yeah. Right? Right. But it's, I guess, less weirder because like I just.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're, you know.
Like, just put, I know, I look, I'm guilty of not being able to put down the phone, too. I get it. Like, I'm not one, I'd be throwing glasses or throwing rocks at a glass house here a little bit, but I can put down the phone, or at least not talk to someone on speakerphone while I'm in the bathroom.
I don't think I've ever had a conversation where I think it would have been appropriate to be in a public restroom,
right?
Or any restroom, a private restroom, at that point, and be on the phone, because there is an element of... if this conversation can wait, it can wait if I'm on the, you know, if I'm using the restroom, but also if it can't wait, I kind of need to give it the respect of not sitting on a toilet.
if it's so important, like something's going wrong with grandma.
Yeah.
Let's wait till I get off the toilet.
I don't want my pants at my ankles when I'm talking about it. That's just me. But
I also don't want whoever I'm talking to hear said sound.
Oh, yeah.
The
urinal. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't hear that. It's, you know, she's telling you, mom's telling you about grandma and her dementia. And so you hear a flush. No one wants that.
I've been on the other side of phone calls where I'll hear a flush in the bathroom. I just keep I stifle a laugh. Well, I kind of want to chuckle every time.
Yeah, it is funny. I would call him out.
But yeah, normally I just kind of don't ask, don't tell.
I don't get it, because to your point, I wasn't even coming at it from that angle initially. It's just like we're like, I wouldn't want, because if I'm on the phone with the person, I find out in their bathroom, like, dude, you're just letting anyone that walks into the bathroom hear this conversation.
On speaker, too. That, you know,
on speaker?
Now that I'm thinking about it, the speaker in the speaker in a public place, period.
It's weird. People do that. See, I don't go into the grocery store much anymore because I just do the curbside. But
Ballin'.
I guess. But like when I did, like people would do that there as well. They're just walking down the aisle holding the phone like this. Yeah, like okay.
How's it easier? I have no idea.
I like you can't wait to like just stay in the car a couple extra minutes, or hey, I'll call you back.
Or just like put the phone to your ear.
Or just put the phone instead to of, your damn ear.
Instead of, you know, at your at
with
your
like AirPods. Or
your collarbone. You're holding it like this.
Yeah.
It's like six more inches to hold it like that.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. I don't know. Some people are just weird about how they just want to, like I've heard. I don't think Branham is a speakerphone in the bathroom guy. But like he has some weird things where like he wants to stack things he's doing to like be hyper efficient.
Okay.
So I don't know if this is a hyper efficiency thing, but the dude that I heard today was literally talking about hot tubs. So I don't think this was we have to get into this conversation about hot tubs, and I got to make sure I stack this with going to the bathroom with Chick-fil-A.
Maybe he's a technician of some sort.
Yeah, he could have been.
You don't know.
Well, does it make it weirder? So I'm washing my hands. He comes out of the stall.
That's good.
Okay, yeah. Let's check in the box. Yeah, check in the box.
Imagine
right?
If you're just like, I wasn't washing my hands.
That wasn't washing my hands.
I didn't block.
Well, funny you should say that.
He didn't.
So he comes out of the stall. He sees me. There's two things I think he should do in this situation. He didn't either. He first started to leave, but I think he noticed that I noticed him, and so he stopped. He's like, okay, I guess I'll wait to wash my hands. Like So he wasn't going to wash his hands. That's X one.
Strike.
Yeah, strike one. Strike two, he just set the phone down on the sink counter and just let the conversation keep going while he was waiting for his turn at the sink.
Yeah, this is.
And then even while I'm leaving, he's still phone on the counter, full conversation about hot tubs at Chick-fil-A. And not hot tubs at Chick-fil-A, but
hot tubs
at Chick-fil-A
while
talking
he's at
about hot tubs.
Yeah.
Still full conversation about hot tubs while at Chick-fil-A. And then I leave, and I don't know where the story concludes, but for me, it ended there.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe even weirder than actually talking on the phone in the stall.
Because
at least, I mean, not that I'm condoning it, clearly, from the past 8 minutes.
But at least you're sitting doing nothing.
And you might think you're alone in that situation. Although you should assume that, but you might think you're alone.
Yeah, he probably did, but yeah.
But now when you know you're not alone... Set the phone down in a communal place that is the one sink, and just continue the conversation while someone's washing their hands.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like this guy. I don't like this guy.
I've heard nothing that I liked.
Yeah,
I don't except know the hot tub. I am interested in what the
AJ. This is not a Gen Z thing, right? This is not.
What was this person
that I know of?
This he probably looked
profile
like
this man.
Maybe like right about your age, Sean.
Okay, so a young man. Got it.
Yeah. The 90s thing. No, fine.
Yeah, someone that's an unk, you know, washed, I would say.
A young man born in the 1900s.
Yeah, you were born in the 1900s. I think that automatically qualifies you for being an unk. All right, we'll carry the Texans conversation over. That got a little carried away, but I saw that today at Chick-fil-A, and it bothered me, so I had to bring that to. So make sure that my fellow coworkers are not also speakerphone in the bathroom guys. That makes me feel a whole lot better. So when we get back on the other side of the break, Will Kunkel, who's not filling in tomorrow because we're here, but he had a chance to talk with Texans offensive line coach Cole Popovich. We're going to borrow some of that audio, steal it, borrow it, whatever, and have some reaction because Cole Popovich thinks there's still some things to work on with the Texans offensive line, and had me wondering, like, are we maybe assuming too much that because they made moves, the offensive line is therefore fixed? That one, the bullpen, no. When the Dale Olea show returns, Sean and I will be back in just a couple of minutes.
This is the Dale Olea show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank studios, here's Dale Olea.
All right, welcome back into the Dale Olea show. It is a bullpen takeover of the show. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, and AJ Russ behind the glass filling in for Dale today, tomorrow, and Friday. Rahil will be in on Thursday. And coming up next hour at 11:30, we're going to play Will AJ Know Again? We'll test AJ's knowledge, not this time not from before he was born, but what 3 years after he was born?
Still 22 years ago?
Yeah, I guess we gave AJ a little bit of a clue there. We clued him in on the time frame, so he might
don't
have an advantage.
Don't look anything up that happened in 2000.
Don't say the year.
Mid-2000s.
Yeah, mid-2000s. We already gave him a really big
My
clue.
Wheelhouse.
But Will AJ Know? Will AJ Know will be happening at 11:30. We'll need two callers in. On the HRP list line, 713-780-376. At 11:30, not now.
11:30, we need a yes and we need a no on AJ getting it right.
Yeah,
I'll say.
Question. Are you going to handicap it? Because yesterday you're 50-50.
Yeah.
AJ got it wrong.
I'll not
calling you out, just factual statement.
I will admit my confidence. Well, I think because it's more recent, the question might be a little bit easier.
Right.
But my confidence is a little shaken given his performance yesterday. So I'll go like 55 no.
55 no. Wow.
40,
yesterday, you made a big deal of saying you have confidence in AJ as a man, as a person.
Oh, well, I still have that confidence.
Okay, okay.
Just to answer this question
trivia
right.
Trivia is gone down. But as a man, still full confidence.
10 out of 10.
All right. I'm glad we settled
9.5.
Something we don't have, I would say, 10 out of 10 confidence in, Sean. Look at that transition.
That was beautiful.
Great work. Texas offensive line. And, you know, we've obviously spent what feels like 10 years talking about it at this point. Certainly the entire D'Amico Ryans era, in part because Nick Caserio can't hit on an offensive lineman. I heard Lance mention, I didn't even think about this on the way in, that they've drafted now 5 years in a row on offensive linemen in either the first or second round.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully Keelan Rutledge hits, hopefully Arianti Ursary, I think we're all kind of like,
wasn't
a miss yet, but we're not sure like what quality he is. Hopefully those work out and be cornerstones, but a lot of misses on that resume for Caserio. Well, anyway, Will Kunkel, who, you hear on this station at times and, does great work on his YouTube channel, kicking it with Kunkel. He had a chance to talk with Texans offensive line coach Cole Popovich. And in this conversation about the offensive line and where they're at, there was something that was said by the Texans offensive line coach that stuck out. Let's go ahead and hear it.
As far as technique, like, all these guys got a long way to go. Right? We were just talking about padded practices. This is what we need. Full padded practices where we can really work our technique against another live human, because all the other stuff, Is it real? We really need these padded tractions.
So shout out to Cole Popovich, Texans offensive line coach, for actually giving what I thought was a real answer.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, it was a real answer. Often you hear D'Amico talk and Caserio talk, and there's nothing given even remotely what I would consider real answers. All just, they're
Is
great.
Is that accurate?
They're having the best offseason of their life.
And then challenging the premise of the question.
Challenging the premise of the question, not knowing what windows are, not knowing what drafting for need is, you know.
Yeah.
Telling us Joe Mixon's fine. We still have no idea what happened, right? So that felt like a real answer from Cole Popovich. And again, shout out to Will Kunkel. Check out his YouTube page, Kicking It with Kunkel, for more content like that. But that answer, Sean, I think had definitely me, and it seems like it had you kind of like perking up as well with him talking about, like, as far as technique goes, they still have a long way to go. Now, he could have been selling it as, well, we haven't got to hit anyone yet, so this is they would naturally, in this part of the process, have a long way to go because they haven't got to get practice against another colored jersey yet. But it had me thinking of, like, we all just kind of, well, they needed offensive line help and they acquired offensive linemen, so Problem fixed, right? I think we have a tendency sometimes to do that as fans of, they have a need, they addressed it, so
boom.
Problem solved.
Wyatt Teller, Brayden Smith, there you go.
Right, just assume best case scenario, the first round pick, they brought in Wyatt Teller, they brought in Brayden Smith, and everything's solved. But his answer there kind of had me thinking, like, are we maybe assuming too much that just everything is fixed with the Texans offensive line?
Yeah, there is an element of, well, it can't get worse. And
it can always get
worse. I mean, even like last year, they weren't like actually the worst team in the NFL. Because a lot of times that's what happens where if you're 32nd, you're like, well, it can't get worse. It's like, no, you can still be 32nd and actually get worse.
Further,
like,
back from 31. Yeah.
Like, if you, me, AJ were 3/5 of an offensive line, like, you would also be worse than the worst offensive line.
We would still be 32, but we would be worse than the other 32.
Yes, yeah. So I do think there's some of that at play. I think part of it is, like what we said earlier with D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, they're very good at being on message and very good at, like, painting the specific picture they want you to have of this offensive line. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, they, because they focused on getting, you know, run block, power blocking. You know, they want to be a power running team with Nick Haley also has talked about this in year two of Nick Haley. And it's like, yeah, okay, like, sure. Like, if you're going to be, like, a below-average offensive line, you want to have, like, a skill that these below-average offensive linemen are good at. But there is still, like, the L, like, A, they have to prove it because in the NFL, like, unless you're Tyler Lindenbaum, Trent Williams, like, if you're a free agent as an offensive lineman, like, your team has decided that your incumbent team has decided they do not want you on your team anymore or on that team anymore. So, I do think that this is a little bit more scrap pieces with Wyatt Teller and Braden Smith, although they do have NFL starting experience. They are more of like kind of not scrap heap players, but like they are, you know, I guess value signings, budget signings that are, you shouldn't be penciling them in to be like, yep, boom, fixed, left guard, done, Wyatt Teller.
Yeah, because like, this is not quite an apples to apples comparison, but to your point of like, if their previous teams are letting them go, there has to be a reason why they've made that decision. Cause teams don't just like, yeah, we want to get rid of a player that's playing really well for us. And we still think has future value, which had me thinking of as a cross sport comparison, like the Pirates are not a team that can go out and outspend everyone in free agency, right? So if they're letting go of a pitcher like Mike Burrows, who has 5 years left of team control, it's probably because they don't think he's very good. Like, Dana Brown and people after seeing, like, one spring training outing were saying, oh, that guy's the second best starter on the team. He's the two behind Hunter Brown as your ace.
It was a good spring training
game. It was a good spring training game. That. It really was. It was, that. You know, as far as spring training games go, it was like, top notch. But like, there's a reason why the Pirates said, yeah, you know how us as a franchise never spend money on anybody, and this guy has 5 years left of team control, we're okay with getting rid of him.
Yeah, Brandon Lau
for non-top level prospects. Yeah. Right, so like, I do think there's something there, like specifically with Wyatt Teller, because I think it's two different things between Wyatt Teller and Braden Smith, is if we're painting the picture of why their teams let them go. With Wyatt Teller, it's obviously age. Like, he's a three-time Pro Bowler, but he's now at an age where the Browns, who, I mean, they let Joe Thomas play out his entire career, so it's not like they're one of those teams like the Tampa Bay Rays that's constantly churning over as guys get older. Like, I think they would have let him finish out his career if they thought he was helpful. And the other side of that, the Colts have a quarterback coming off an Achilles injury, and they're like, yeah, Braden Smith, he can go. So I do think we can't completely buy into the idea of, well, just because they added guys that were maybe better than what the Texans had last year, like these teams, the Colts and the Browns, let these guys go for a reason. Now, Keelan Rutledge may be the truth. I mean, he was a first-round pick. We'll see. But, like, I think there has to be a thought process and a conversation about why the Browns let Wyatt Teller go, why the Colts decided not to match on Braden Smith, because it wasn't a very big contract. It's like 2 years, a little over $20 million. It wasn't some contract where the Colts said, you know, well, we can't possibly pay that. Hell, they went out and paid Alec Pierce well over $100 million. So they clearly they had the room. Like, there has to be that part of the thought process of, yeah, we think they're better because they went out and spent on this, but there may be a reason lurking as to why these guys were not retained by their teams.
Yeah, yeah. And for every, you know, Ed Ingram level of like,
there's a Lincoln Tomlinson
reclamation. Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Lincoln Tomlinson.
Yeah, there's
same year.
I mean, there's 10 Lincoln Tomlinson. Yeah. You know, like. So there's just not that many good offensive linemen in the NFL where there's so many that a team like the Browns or the Colts can get rid of good ones, which is interesting considering the Browns went out and got Titus Howard. Like, they went out and signed Titus Howard for $20 million.
Trade the fifth.
Yeah, and there's an element of like, well, would I rather have Titus Howard for 20 or Wyatt Teller for 8 or whatever he's signed for?
Yeah, it's like $10 million a year or $11 million a year or something like that.
So there is an element of like, it is the Browns we're talking about. You know, they're not exactly, you know, the peak.
Lighting it up with the scouting department. The
peak of NFL talent evaluations.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the sell would have to be just that, like, these guys will be good at something. You know, they will be good at...
What a bard.
Yeah. Like, they will have a identity that is consistent among all five guys, where it's like, you know, their Madden ratings aren't going to be any better than last year's Madden right. ratings, but they have, like, some chemistry together.
One trait in there, and it's run blocking, which is yeah. the other thing that, you know, because the offensive line conversation obviously always comes back to C.J. Stroud, and I think you're right in that Caserio identified a need, the need for run blocking. We saw how badly they struggled in the red zone last year, converting from, you know, short yardage in goal line.
Yeah.
If they weren't the worst team in the league at goal line, they were the second worst, right? We know they were god awful.
Goal-to-go success rate.
Yeah, they were awful. So, I mean, credit to Caserio for, like, okay, we clearly need that, and he went out and got it. Wyatt Teller is a run-first blocking guard. I mean, Braden Smith, same thing, a tackle. Keelan Rutledge profiles that, the guy they drafted. Well, played guard at Georgia Tech, well, looks like will now play center. So they went out and found that. You add that to David Montgomery. I think they've improved their ability to pick up short yardage. You have the stat?
Yes. Goal-to-go success rate. This is from Warren Sharp.
Yeah.
In 2025. Your Houston Texans coming in 28th.
28th. Better yeah. than I thought.
Better than still the Jets.
Really, still really bad.
They're behind the Browns and Raiders and ahead of the Jets, Chiefs. Saints, Giants.
So a lot of teams picketing in the top 10 of the NFL draft.
Yeah, and the Houston Texans.
And the Houston Texans, right? So really, really bad. So they went out. Like, I don't think it's wrong to assume that they fixed that, given the profiles of these three offensive linemen, plus, you know, getting a tough runner like David Montgomery into the system.
Yeah, I can see the vision. Yeah.
Right. I see the vision. I see the plan of attack. Our identity. I mean, you have a defensive head coach. We want to be tough. We want to run the ball on third and short. We want to run the ball on the goal line. They couldn't do that out last year. They went out and attacked the offseason. They got that. Fine. What that doesn't answer is, can they block for CJ?
Yeah.
Can they block for a quarterback who might be starting to see ghosts and see the pass rush like other quarterbacks who've got beaten up for a couple of years have? So that is the great unknown, and I think that's what people like, oh, they fixed the offensive line. I think they fixed it for the run game. I don't think we can assume anything as far as if they fixed it for pass protection.
Yeah, and if you want to just go with the blueprint of, like, yep, we're going to, you know, Wisconsin football this. I normally say Iowa football, but people don't like getting compared to Iowa football.
No.
I don't know what the flirting harassment difference that's happening there, where it's Wisconsin's okay.
One of those teams is a top 25 team.
And it's Iowa.
It's Iowa.
Yeah, Iowa's been better the last 5 years.
I know. Luke Fickell's on the hot seat.
But yeah, it is the, we're going to run for, you know, between Marks and Montgomery, like, what, 1,800, 1,700 yards?
Yeah.
Like, whatever the number you want
to
set it at.
I'm sure they'd love to have, like, not that anyone would be airy in this situation, but, like, airy and Ben Tate. Like, just let's hand the ball off every play.
They would win the Super Bowl.
They would win the Super Bowl.
35 points every game.
Yeah, if they had an airy and Ben Tate situation.
But if they can build it like that, where, yes, you're right, they aren't building, like, a great pass-protecting unit for CJ Stroud, or pass protecting line for CJ Stroud, but at the very least, like, you are avoiding, hopefully, if the running game is what you are shooting for, you're not going to be in that many third and longs where it is straight drop back. Depending on, you can be in third and shorts a little bit more,
which
short
was a
yardage
huge problem last year.
Get rid of the ball fast. So I can see the message that they're selling. I can see all of that. It is just, at the end of the day, like, you got to go out there and prove it. And so far with Nick Caserio, like, they haven't proven it ever.
No.
The offensive line. They have not, like, somehow the 2023 Houston Texans had the best offensive line of this entire era. And it was George Fant and, like, randoms.
George Fant. And that year started off, I think, with CJ getting sacked 7 times in their first two games.
Yes.
And then they basically just started max protecting. And, to your point, like, the offensive line, for the most part, that year was good enough. And then it
was Charlie Heck on that team, or was he?
Oh, God, I don't
was
know.
Was he thrown overboard?
I don't know.
In 2022.
Who else would have been on that team? Like, they've had such huge turnover at the offensive line position.
Yeah. Like you said, like, they've,
like, who is left from that from the offensive line that starred in that playoff game at Kansas City that gave up 8 sacks? Who's left?
Oh, nobody.
Nobody, right?
Heck started 4 games for the 2023
wow.
Houston Texans.
And that was better than what they've put out on the field the last 2 years.
Yeah.
an offensive line starting Charlie Heck and George Fant.
Only 4 games of
Heck.
But
fourth of the season. fourth of the season, bro.
Yeah, it was not what you want to see. But yeah, like you said, what? Ursary, Blake Fisher was a second round pick. Yeah. Scruggs, second round pick.
Yep. Who's Kenyon Green.
Kenyon Green, first round pick. Yeah, I remember this was something probably in 2024 where it's like they need to invest in the offensive line. At that point, they had Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard. Like, they do is invest in the offensive line. They're just not good.
I had this a short Twitter
screaming match.
No, Twitter argument with
said things you can't take back
with the host. Yeah, my wife wasn't having it that day. No, I had this a short Twitter argument like a year maybe. No, I think it was right after the Kansas City loss. In the playoffs a couple years ago, where they gave up 8 sacks with another host at another station, and he made the exact same point. He's like, the Texans aren't serious, so they don't invest in the offensive line. And like my point along the lines of what you just said is like, literally no team has invested more in the offensive line than the Houston Texans. They just suck at it.
Yeah,
like this is going back further than even what you mentioned with all the draft picks. That was paying Laremy Tunsil huge money multiple times.
They brought in Shaq Mason.
Extending Titus Howard for a big contract. Shaq Mason, like trading, they traded for Shaq Mason and they extended him. Like, no team has put more into their offensive line than Houston Texans. They just suck at evaluating talent on the offensive line.
Which is like somehow actually worse. It's like actually worse.
I'd rather you just like take it flippantly that like, we're good. Because at least you could then flip the switch and like address it, than not have a clue as
this
how to
max
evaluate
effort.
It.
You cannot try harder than they're trying.
No, and no.
If this line is a good line, it would be the first.
It would be. It would be the first. All right. We'll get out of there. If you want to weigh in on the Texans offensive line, you can hit us up on the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. I'm on Twitter, at Sat by BMAC. Sean is at Sean and Mapes. And AJ behind the glass is at Swaggy Russ. That HRP listener number again, 713-780-3776 is the same number you'll need when we give away two or one pair of listener party tickets coming up at 11:30 with the game of Will AJ Know. On the other side of the break, when we get back, ESPN put out, Sean, like a next 3 years power rankings looking ahead to the NFL and season 2027 through 2029. And we'll take a look at where the Texans ranked on that list and if we think that's fair or not. That one, the bullpen takeover of the Dale Olea Show continues, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, welcome back into a bullpen takeover of the Del Olalea Show. Del will be back on Monday. Sean Mapes, myself, Ryan McDonald, AJ filling in. Today, tomorrow, and Friday, Raheel will be on Thursday to give a full two-hour nonstop Texas Raiders preview. Right, Sean? You're booking that show. You're on... You'll be producing that day. Yeah. It's 2 hours nonstop Raiders preview, right?
Nonstop preview.
Position by position. Mm-hmm. Who has the most to earn, most to gain tonight? Texas Raiders.
If you're wearing a jersey number in the 40s, we will talk about you.
You're specifically going to clue in on roster spot 70 through 90, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Good. I like that. I will tune in.
Over 35 to 58. We'll talk about you.
All right, so ESPN put out a next 3 years power ranking, looking ahead to the NFL in years 2027 through 2029, and just ranked teams and how the roster looks and how the team is set up with their coaching staff. I guess guys on long-term contracts, because obviously a lot of guys will be off the books by that time. And just ranked the teams for how they're set up for the next 3 years after this upcoming season. And your Houston Texans come in at 8, Sean, which kind of feels about where they are in the current day rankings a lot. Like,
that is true.
Yeah, that's just kind of where they are. Like, forever and a day until DeMeco took over, the Texans, even when they're good, just kind of lived that, like, well, when a power ranking comes out, they're going to be 15.
Fourth best team in the AFC.
Yeah, they're going to be 15, right? That's where they're going to be. Now they've kind of moved into a category where, like, they're always going to have the hot, you know, sexy teams that get the bump up. You're going to get the teams with a great quarterback that get the bump up. And then the Texans are the next team after those teams run out.
Yeah.
So this is kind of where they've lived for, you know, the DeMeco Ryans era. Like, about around the eighth best team.
Because other than 2018 and 19 and maybe going into the 20 season, Like, they didn't have, they've never had a quarterback that's like the sexy quarterback.
No.
And even Deshaun Watson in those years.
There was like a brief time where Deshaun was that guy, but.
But he wasn't, there was another tier above.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure.
They haven't had that, like, number one quarterback. So, yeah, I think eight is, again, when the Texans are good, they're about eight.
Right? Because what do they always do? They get to the division round and they lose. How many teams make up the division round? Eight. So, yeah. I mean, it's like, that's just where they are. So,
yeah. And they're behind two AFC teams.
Yeah, so first blush when I saw that, like, you know, eighth overall, I was like, yeah, okay. So they break it down by overall roster, excluding quarterback. Well, I'm glad they did that. They gave us I'm glad they gave us one of those. They also gave us a quarterback, though, so we can't avoid it too long. And the other two categories were coaching and front office. So the Texans' overall roster, excluding quarterback, which arguably this might be, I guess the offensive line weighs in. I guess I can't hit them too hard here. But their rank was fourth. Now, I feel like if they gave us a defensive roster, we could make the argument that they're number one. But, yeah, their overall roster, excluding quarterback, was ranked fourth out of 32. Quarterback, this might be a little generous, but they ranked him 14th out of 32.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jeremy and Joe and I did our rankings. I don't think any of us had them that high. I think Jeremy was the highest at 16. Coaching is 12, which I think is too low. Now, if you want to argue Nick Caley, the offensive line coaches really have improved the offensive line as the part of the overall coaching fair. But if it was just head coach, I think D'Amico's higher than 12. And then front office is at 10, which obviously huge ding for not being able to fix the offensive line, as we talked about in the last segment. But overall, I would probably put Nick Caserio's job at higher than 10. I'd probably put him like 7 or 8, kind of like wherever the Texans are. But what do you think of these overall rankings here, Sean?
Yeah, there's not like a huge, I don't really have a huge issue with any of these. The front office is one where to me, that's like just hard to parse, especially like.
Wasn't it just, do you hit on your draft picks?
Yes, but the fact that Nick Caserio's hit on basically every defensive draft pick, like, do I give Nick Caserio the entire credit, or
is it go to
one of the best defensive coaches in the league?
Yeah, maybe it just goes to
D'Amico. You know, like,
because he makes it work.
And so that's the issue I'm having, because when you talk about Nick Caserio, like, it's always like, I mean, after Nico Collins, really, has there been like an awesome?
Well, if
offensive draft.
I mean, Tank Dell, but obviously injuries.
Yeah. Okay.
Tank Dell as a third round pick was a really good pick. I mean, Woody Marks is a fourth-round pick, I think was...
We'll see.
I think was better than the average fourth-round pick.
At running back?
Damian Pierce for a year was a good pick for a year.
Did he pick Damian Pierce?
Yeah.
He was. I always forget he was
I would even say, so we're only talking offense here, right?
Yeah.
I would say Davis Mills is a third-round quarterback.
All right.
That's a third-rounder who could come in and win games?
Sure. But then when you're talking about, so was CJ Stroud a good pick?
Time will tell.
So you missed on the starting quarterback.
Time will tell on the starting quarterback. But damn it, that backup, well done, Nick.
And when he was the starter, by the way, you picked in the top five every year.
Yeah, that's true. All right, that's fair. That's a fair rebuttal. All I'm saying is Davis Mills surpassed.
He won three games last year. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying he surpassed the expectations of the draft slot.
Yeah,
quarterbacks you draft. I know, Russell Wilson, but for the average quarterback taken in the third round,
Prescott, fourth round.
Yeah, facts. Tom Brady. Let's just keep going. Tom Brady,
ever heard of him?
All right, shut up. All right, so like looking at the overall rankings. AJ's not going to like this, but we'll go through it here. Seattle Seahawks are number one. I don't think there's much argument there. Their GM has put together two completely unique Super Bowl champions with completely unique rosters, completely unique coaching staff. Mike McDonald is one of the best coaches in the league.
They have three.
Overall roster, excluding quarterback, one. Quarterback, 16. So lower. Sam Darnold lower than CJ on this list. And then front office, too, because John Schneider's put, like I said, he's put together two completely unique Super Bowl champions. Yeah. So no problem with Seattle being one. The Eagles are number two. Any thoughts on the Eagles being number two?
It's cute. They're going to be looking for a quarterback in a couple of years.
The 14th best quarterback in the league?
I think that's actually fair. That sounds like they're more on your side there, AJ.
I mean, isn't that what they gave CJ Stroud?
Yeah, I think it was. Like, are they tied for 14?
Yeah.
They must be tied for
14. They're both 14.
They have their overall roster second, which excluding quarterback, that is, in front office one. Which
AJ, would you rather have CJ Stroud or Jalen Hurts?
Ooh, yeah, good question.
They're both 14 on according to this list.
Who would you rather have, AJ?
I gotta say Jalen Hurts though, because I mean he's performed in the Super Bowl.
Man, he hates Jalen Hurts.
I know.
I don't hate anyone.
That is biggest indictment I think so far that I've heard of CJ Stroud. That this man here would rather have.
Yeah, I mean the run Jalen game would Hurts. Get better.
The running game would get better. Yeah. Three is the Lions. Then we have four Broncos. Five Rams, which I think that's mostly a little bit lower because they're old.
Yeah. If I were to guess.
Patriots 6 and Packers 7 make up the seven teams above the Texans.
And that's what's hard with these like future rankings, because like if I'm the Rams, it's like, well, you're at worst number two in 2016 or 2026. And in 2027, like, probably some drop off, but it's still mostly
but
like
28. They could be one of the worst teams in the league.
Exactly. So it's like, how do you actually like
Miles Garrett?
They might win the
old
Super Bowl this year. They're if not the favorite, one of the favorites. Oh,
they're the Vegas favorite, yeah,
to win the Super Bowl this year. But also in 2028, they might be bad.
They might be real bad. Like Sean McVay has talked about going and getting into the media.
Yeah. I mean quarterback
Stafford will be gone.
Quarterback they
Miles
gave him
Garrett's probably gone.
Quarterback they gave him a 24.
Well, yeah. I guess that's a non-belief in Ty Simpson is what that is.
Yes, but, yes. If you're only giving Stafford maybe 2 years. Like,
yeah,
maybe.
I mean, hell, we have to – we can't –
he could retire after
he had to get an epidural last year to play through that season and played really well, won the MVP. But, yeah, like, how many times can he keep doing that as he gets older and older and closer to the age of 40? So, of the teams ahead of the Texans, is there anyone that you – give kind of a little bit of a side eye as to maybe moving the Texans above them?
The teams ahead of them?
Yeah, so those teams were the Packers at 7, the Patriots at 6, the Rams at 5, the Broncos at 4, Lions 3, Eagles 2, and Seahawks 1.
It's tough because they're literally the number one seed last year in the AFC, and if their quarterback doesn't break his ankle on the second to last play of the game,
they're
probably make the Super Bowl at the very least. But the Broncos, mostly just because of the quarterback.
You don't believe in Bo Nix?
Yeah.
You're not a Bo Leifer?
Nix versus Stroud, it's like, rather just
kind of the same guy.
I'd just rather have Stroud. Like, the Nix thing, I'm still waiting for the, like,
oh, did we miss that when we did the cross-racial quarterback comparison? So should we just go on Bo Nix, CJ Stroud?
No, because they're not that similar.
Yeah, it's true. Bo Nix runs a little bit. CJ
doesn't
run.
Yeah, but check out Jeremy and Joe's.
I think my comp for Stroud was Jared Goff.
Okay, yeah. That is cross-racial.
Quarterback.
That is cross-racial.
About as cross-racial. Goff is very white.
Yeah, blonde. Yeah, you don't get
much more. He's about as white as it gets.
But yeah, I think the Broncos, I mean, they have young talent on the team. But like, this is where the D'Amico Ryans versus Sean Payton thing, it's like, it's close. And funny that they're both hired in 2023, or 2023 was the first season.
Texans talked to Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Job.
And so it's like coaching, I'm kind of, like, that's kind of a wash, if anything.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, I guess resume, you have to give it to Payton, but like for 2028, who I think is the better coach. And then the rosters, like the Texans, like you said, like they don't have everyone signed for the next 3 years. They have everyone signed for the next two, you know, like
the entire defense is locked up for this year and next.
Yes.
The entire defense.
Colin just got a raise. Nico just got a raise. He didn't actually get more years. So maybe that's the rub. Well, there's no one on offense that you're like in 2028 will be a productive member of the Houston Texans.
That is maybe a reason to move the Texans like a spot down from where you like first blush would put them, because of Nick Caserio's track record for the most part of, he doesn't hand out long-term contracts. It's like 2 year deals,
three year deals.
So like, I, without looking at the top of my head, I don't think there'd be many guys still signed up through the end of 2029. Like, I guess Will Anderson would be, like, he literally just re-upped. But outside of that,
Stingley?
Stink? No. Well,
he signed a 3-year deal, but does it kick in this year?
No, because it's technically a 5-year deal because it paid off the last 2 years of his rookie deal. So he would still be under contract. Okay. But there would be a lot of guys under contract by the end of 2029 on the Houston Texans roster. So there is definitely, I mean, and that's probably true for most NFL teams, but that is a bit of an unknown when it comes to the Houston Texans.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in the write-up for this, they mentioned Lassiter.
Which he's got 2 years left on his current rookie deal, so we'll see.
Yeah, there. Yeah, there's no one above. Like I said the Broncos just to have an answer because it's sports radio, and it would be very bad if I was just like, no, I think they got it right.
Nailed it.
Yeah, good. You know what?
Kind of think the Packers. That's only moving them up one spot. I'm just not a big Jordan Love guy.
Yeah.
And the wide receiver talent, like, it's a lot of wide receiver fours, in my opinion, a lot of wide receiver threes, like it.
Yeah.
And I know there's a Longhorn / Coogan there with Matthew Golden, but who caught zero touchdown passes in the regular season last year.
Some of that's on Love. Love missed him for at least 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, again, I'm not in on Love. Christian Watson's always hurt. Jonathan Jacobs.
I hate that they paid Christian Watson.
Yeah. And, you know, Josh Jacobs is a little bit older now, plus he's got some legal issues that may pop up.
Yeah.
And it, like, there's a Kraft, lot there. There's ACL. A lot there with the Packers that, like, I think I'd probably move the Texans. Now, it's only one spot, so it's not a dramatic shift. But if I were to pick one team to move the Texans ahead of, I think it's the Packers.
Yeah, yeah. But I have LaFleur, like, ahead, like, meaningfully. Not meaningfully as in, like, way ahead. But just, like, I do think there's a tier difference between LaFleur and Ryan's.
It's not unfair.
Yeah, just track record. I think LaFleur's made it.
Although I think the Packers have lost their last 3 playoff games.
That sounds right.
Cover years, AJ. After they beat the Cowboys a few years ago, I think they've lost 3 in a row.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, not great. D'Amico always gets one.
He always gets one.
Gets one playoff win.
Always gets one.
Appreciate the work you guys putting in.
Thank you, D'Amico.
Yeah, but
we're adding more work, D'Amico. They added tomorrow to our schedule. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the Packers defense, and it's hard with the, like, defense being like, they match.
They do have Micah Parsons.
Yeah, but, I mean, Texans have Will Anderson.
Yeah, it's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Packers hater here. AJ, is there anywhere on the Packers that you would say, yeah, I would definitely take what they have over the Texans?
Nope. In fact, I think they're going to miss the playoffs this year. But anyways.
There you go. There you go. AJ's on my side.
I
knew that answer.
You want to take Love over Stroud?
Maybe slightly, but I don't think there's that much of a difference.
I will say with the Love Stroud thing, a minute after I gave credit to Mike LaFleur
Matt LaFleur.
Can't believe I screwed that up that way. No, I thought if I screwed up, I screwed up the other way. But LaFleur, like, if I'm giving him credit for being an offensive mind and their quarterback is only marginally better than a guy who has no help and has had Bobby Slowick and Nick Haley call plays for him. Like,
who we don't want to give a contract to.
Yeah. So maybe Stroud, you know, if they just swap starting spots, like, Stroud would probably we'd all have Stroud above Love if he got to play with the Packers.
Like if you were to swap them, like Freaky Friday them, I think Stroud would have a better season with LaFleur than Love would have with Nick Haley / Bobby Slowick.
Yeah. Okay. Then you know what? You talked me into Stroud
all right,
over Love.
Texans moving up one spot to number 7. There we go.
Still losing in the hypothetical division round to either the Broncos or the Pats.
Of course. That's forever their lot in life. Which you reminded me of something of getting the LaFleurs mixed up there. Have you seen what hell beat writers are going to have to go through?
With Love?
Because the headline that came out about Jeremiah Love's ankle injury was LaFleur says Love might miss the rest of the preseason. You could completely reverse that. You have Mike LaFleur with Jeremiah Love, and you have Matt LaFleur with Jordan Love, and you can't even go initials because it's Bo J. Love.
And it's both
M LaFleur.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they're going to have to go full names.
Yeah.
It's going to be so confusing.
Throw a hashtag cards on the end of that.
Yeah.
Red Storm or whatever
Bird
their hashtag. Yeah, whatever their hashtag. Yeah.
Go Pat Go or whatever the hell they talk about. So, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun for the Schefters and Ian Rappaports of the world. All right, on the other side of the break, D'Amico Ryan said everyone's playing on Thursday. I'm curious what your thoughts on that. Like, because I don't know. Like, I just – after seeing what happened with Jeremiah Love getting 14 carries, I'm like, do we really need to see Will Anderson and Nico Collins play? We'll talk about that and a few other Texans items and get into the NFL as well. That when the bullpen takeover of the Dale Olea Show returns, ESPN 97.5.